Well, all right. If you have your Bible, would you turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 71, and I'll give you a few other verses if you want to write these down, but we'll just stay in the Psalms, at least if you would. Psalm 71, and give you a chance to get your hands free, and then we'll make our confession together. The words are on the screen. We invite you to join us if you're in agreement, and let's just confess our confidence in God to speak to us through His Word today, that we do believe that it's true. It is really God's Word, inspired by Him, and we want to live by it. All right, so would you join me as we make this confession? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to write these verses down, I want to give you just a reference in the New Testament. So if you just write it down, we'll put them on the screen. It's Hebrews chapter 6. I'd like to read the last three verses of that chapter, Hebrews 6, verses 18 through 20. I want to read this from the New Living Translation. So again, if you would just follow on the screen. The scripture reads, "So God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary." Let me pause there just a second. If we go back to verse 18, it says that God has given His promise. He confirmed it with an oath, speaking of His Word, and it's impossible for God to lie. And it speaks about fleeing to Him for refuge. That's basically how we become Christian, and we may not think of it in terms of fleeing. I remember I was brought up in a little bit of a church background that probably taught more or spoke more about hell than we hear a lot of today, and that's fine. It is a reality, and I thank God there is an escape, and it's found in Jesus. So whenever we come to that place, however young or old we may be, when God's Spirit draws us to the truth that we have sinned against God, our sin separates us from Him, but this God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins, and we can be forgiven. The Lord, this verse says, He is our refuge. The Lord becomes our refuge when we flee to Him to escape eternal judgment and flee to Him to receive not only His forgiveness, but to receive His very righteousness, so that we can, that's still amazing me, we will stand, if we're in Christ, we can stand before God one day, cleansed by the blood of Jesus like we never sinned. That's enough to praise Him right there, isn't it? So receive His forgiveness and confidence, and then He goes on in the end of that verse 18, He says that we fled for refuge, we can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. We can have great confidence in the promises of God and the power of God because Jesus is our hope. And when it says He's gone into that inner sanctuary, it speaks about the temple years ago where there was the innermost room of that temple was a perfect cube, basically. It was a square. And it was a thick veil that separated that area from the inner part. And behind that veil was what's called the Ark of the Covenant. And one day a year, one man, the high priest, was allowed to go in that place to offer a sacrifice for not only for his own sins, but for the sins of the entire nation, picturing what Jesus would do for us who would come to take away the sins of the whole world. And only one man, one day a year, but when Jesus died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," that veil was ripped in two, what this verse calls a curtain. It was ripped in two, and it specifically says from top to bottom, just like God said, "Okay, his work is perfect. You can come in now." And so that's what this is referring to. And he says in verse 20, Jesus has already gone in there for us. Thank God that he loved us. He died on the cross to save us. He defeated death. He rose again. He ascended back on high. And he's the one who brings us to God when we put our faith and trust in him. Thank God. We have a daughter, Brittany. If she had a friend that came to the house with her, her friend wouldn't have to stand out on the front porch while Brittany came in. The friend would be welcome because she's with our daughter. I can't get to heaven on my own, but if the Son brings me home, I'm good with Jesus. He can get me in. The Bible says the righteous one died for the unrighteous so that he would bring us to God. He says this, he's already gone in there for us, and he has become our eternal high priest. Here's the message this morning I'd like to center on. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our refuge. And thank God that if we have our hope in Jesus, our hope in him is an anchor for our souls. Thank God in the storms of life and in the world today, we've got an anchor that is secure in Jesus because he's already gone into that holy place in heaven for us. And our faith in him is like an anchor that tethers us to the Lord. Now, if you're in Psalm 71, I'll give you a chance. If you're writing that down, the Lord is our refuge. Would you say that with me? The Lord is our refuge. And the Lord is not just a refuge one time. At least I hope he's not. And we come to him for the forgiveness of our sins, to be born again spiritually. But Psalm 71, verse 3 says this, "Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually." Thank God we are privileged to resort to him continually as a way of life. The rest of that verse, "For you have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress." This word, there are a couple different Hebrew words that are translated by our English refuge. This particular word means dwelling place. When he says, "Be my strong refuge, be my dwelling place to which I may resort continually," that's the idea there, a dwelling place. So let me ask you this, you know, between you and the Lord, just in your heart, are you at home with the Lord? Because if you're not, you can be. He's opened the way and he wants you to be at home. He wants us to be at home with him. So are you at home with the Lord? And then verse 7, Psalm 71, verse 7 says, "I have become as a wonder to many." That word can also be translated sign or example. "But you are my strong refuge." Again, verse 8, "Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day." We praise and glorify the Lord because he is our strong refuge. Thank God that we have a refuge this morning. The Lord is our refuge. And I always want to make this practical. How is the Lord a refuge? What even is a refuge? So how is he a refuge, and how do we live that out in practical living, day to day, right now, not just thousands of years ago, but right now, today? And so I believe the Lord is, of course, many ways, but three I'd like to share with you from the scripture this morning. In Jesus, here's what we find. In fact, let me ask you to turn back to Psalm 61. If you're at Psalm 71, would you just turn back a page or so, or on your phone, whatever you may have, Psalm 61. And I'll go ahead and read these verses 1 through 3. David says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Verse 3, "For you have been a shelter for me. Again, that Hebrew word is also translated refuge. Some of your translations may word it that way. You have been a shelter for me. And he says, a strong tower from the enemy. So in Jesus, we find, first of all, shelter. We find a shelter. We find refuge, a place where we can be protected. Our shelter is in the Lord, and not only from spiritual storms, but this verse there in verse 3 of Psalm 61 also talked about a strong enemy. And when we're in those type of battles and storms, thank God we have a shelter in Jesus. The Lord, if he's our refuge, he is also our shelter. And when our hearts are overwhelmed, he said, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock. Lead me to a place that I need a shelter when my heart is overwhelmed. When the storms of life are pounding us, the Lord is our refuge. When the enemy is just assailing us nonstop, the Lord is our refuge. Some of you remember, you're familiar with, I think it's in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus, in fact, let me read that to you. If you want to write it down, we'll stay here in Psalms. Let me read it to you from Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. Mark 4, 35, we read this account. On the same day when evening had come, he is speaking about Jesus. Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. That's very important. The Lord gave his word, let us cross over to the other side. Verse 36, now when they had left the multitude, they took him, Jesus, alone in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with them. And a great, would you say great? A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Jesus was in a boat with his disciples, and they were going across the lake there when a storm caught them. They wouldn't have planned to go across, I'm sure, in a little boat. This was not a yacht, okay? You can go to the Holy Land to this day or pull it up online. It would be more like a John boat, all right? Not something you really want to be in a bad windstorm out on the water. So what was Jesus doing? He was asleep. So this storm comes up, and it was a great storm, it says. Verse 38, but he was in the stern, asleep on the pillow. And they woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Lord, do you don't care about me? I'm dying here. I've noticed in life when storms hit, especially if it's a great storm and it catches us off guard, sometimes, let's be honest, we have a tendency to question the love and concern of God and his goodness. And they panicked, and they questioned him, Lord, don't you care? Well, just for the record, he cares deeply. He just wasn't in the panic with them. He was in the storm. The storm was not in him. They were in the storm, and the storm was in them. So they panic, which is our human initial reaction many times. That's okay, but we don't have to stay there. They had the Prince of Peace right in the boat with them, and they could have. Here's the issue. Jesus said, let us go across to the other side. That boat couldn't have gone down. He gave his word. The storm came up, but this is not just a lesson for them. It's a lesson for all of us, isn't it? So he goes on, and the Bible says in verse 39, then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. Remember I told you there was a great storm? Here it says there was a great calm because Jesus spoke his word. And then there's power in the inspired, anointed word of God to calm the storms on the inside. But here's what he asked them. He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So he calmed the storm, but then he addressed their faith. Faith in his word. And then it says in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him? Now, if you were to ask them before they got in the boat, hey, do you know Jesus? What do you think they would have said? Well, of course. But they didn't know all about him. And this storm brought him into a greater revelation. Isn't that how it happens sometimes? Sometimes we go through the storms and battles, and if we come to him as our refuge, we get to know him better. Brothers and sisters, thank God he's a refuge. Thank God that we can keep coming to him in as a shelter. So we come to him in faith through prayer. We come to him in faith through worship. We come to him in faith through his word. We come to him in faith through godly fellowship until the storm that's still on the outside is no longer raging on the inside, is no longer in us. The Lord is our refuge. Would you say that with me? The Lord is our refuge. Would you turn to Psalm 62? So in fact, let me go ahead and just give you these other two. The Lord is, in Jesus, we find shelter, we find safety, and we find security. We find shelter, safety, and security. You don't have to speed, right? We'll go over them and I'll give it to you. But Psalm 62, and we read just three verses beginning in verse 6. Psalm 62 and verse 6. The Bible says this, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Let me pause there just a second. The Passion Translation in verse 6 there, where it says, he only is my rock, it actually says, he is my safe place. He is my safe place. So if Jesus is our salvation, he is also our defense. He is not our accuser or condemner. We know who the accuser is, right? And sometimes people might even want to jump on that bandwagon. But if we're in Christ, if he's our refuge, he's not our accuser, he is not our condemner. Now, he will lovingly correct us when needed to draw us back to himself, but he is not out to hurt us. He loved us and gave himself for us. He's for us, not against us. He's our safe place. The Lord is my refuge. This scripture reminded me as I was preparing this week and just hearing some of the events that are going on in the news. I saw last night an interview of a man from Israel with his two daughters. I think they were teenagers. He's a doctor. And he was describing events on October the 7th where they were under attack. He has a brother who was in the IDF, and his brother was shot in the shoulder. He's a doctor. He was trying to get his brother to the hospital, and when they ran into, they saw some of the Hamas fighters coming against them, and so they put it in reverse to go as fast as they could to try to get away, and they shot into the car and hit him again in the stomach and hip, the brother who had already been shot in the shoulder. Thankfully, he was able to get to the hospital, and he's recovered, or he's alive. But the two teenage daughters went into a place they call the safe room. And one of them said she believed she was in there. They were in there about 17 hours. It's basically like a closet, a big closet, but that's just a way of life for them. Two brothers came from Israel and spoke at a convocation at Liberty University. I saw their interview. And they have a third brother who was kidnapped. Hopefully he's still alive. They haven't heard from him since. And one of the brothers has a little two-year-old daughter who had a birthday. And so when they heard the shouting, the fire, the gunfire and explosions, they knew to get in the safe room. And they test some water and a little birthday cake. And I don't know how well protected it is. Obviously, it gives some shelter, I guess. But I'm sure it's not foolproof, so to speak. And so he told his daughter, the dad told his two-year-old daughter, we're going to play a game. It's called the whisper game. If you want to talk, you've got to whisper. So they survived in there for 11 hours on a little water and birthday cake. And when she started to talk or say something, he reminded her, we're playing the whisper game. But can you imagine maybe the fear in a moment like that? when you have to run to a safe place. Thank God, Jesus is our safe place. The Lord is our refuge, and He's a place of safety for us. Again, He's not out to hurt us. So we can come to Him and trust Him. And this is what it says. Let's keep reading in that Psalm 62, verse 7. It says, Psalm 62, 7, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." I love that verse. So trust in Him. He is our refuge. Come to Him and pour your heart out to Him. I asked earlier, are you at home with the Lord? Because when you're at home, you can be yourself. You can be real. You can find rest. And He invites us to come to Him. He says, trust Him and pour out your heart to Him. The people in Scripture didn't put on a lot of show. When they were happy, man, they were rejoicing. If you're happy and blessed, be real with God. Trust Him. Pour your heart out to Him. But when they were hurting and they were questioning and doubting and all of this, they came to Him too. They weren't being superficial. They were being real because the Lord is our shelter. And if we trust Him, you don't want to trust someone with your heart if you think they're going to hurt you. But if we know He's not going to hurt me, then I can trust Him and I can pour out my heart to Him. And I bring my fears. I bring my questions. I bring my failures. I bring my anger, my temptation, my anxiety. I bring it to Him because I trust Him, because the Lord is our refuge. And in Him, we can find shelter and safety. Many people are hurt and wounded. And I believe, I'm no psychiatrist, I just believe that that's the reason behind much of the anger, much of the addiction, much of the unfaithfulness that we see and experience today is just because people are wounded and hurting. And we may need healing, certainly even as Christians. We may need healing in our spirits. We may need healing in our emotions. We may need healing in our memory, our minds, painful memories in our thoughts. We may need healing, of course, in our bodies. Well, the Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our Savior. He is our deliverer. He is the one who sets us free, and He is our healer. He's also our transformer. When we come to Him, He begins His work of grace, not only accepting us and receiving us, He transforms us to help us grow more like Jesus. The Lord is our refuge. And as we come closer to the Lord, when we're real with Him, we pour out our heart to Him, we come to the Lord, it's how we grow closer to Him, and it's also how we grow more like Him. Jesus accepts us as sinners just as we are, but He loves us too much to let us stay as we are. He works in us to transform us into the image and likeness of His Son. Thank God He's a shelter and He's a safe place for us. I want to give you one more scripture before I give you this last one. It's found in the book of Acts. Again, we'll put the verses on the screen if you want to write them down. But this coming to the Lord, growing more like Him, promotes the process of healing and freedom and wellness, because Christ's likeness is wellness. Christ was whole, right? He was well in spirit, soul, and body. And the more we grow like Him, the more we experience His healing, His wholeness, His wellness. And godly fellowship is also a part of that growing and healing process. We read these words in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. "And being let go," the apostles had been arrested, threatened to be beaten. It says, "being let go, they went to their own companions." Companions is not the original language. They just went to their own. So I asked earlier, are you at home with the Lord? Are you at home with the people of God? Are you at home with godly fellowship? Because it is important. He says, they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, You are God. You made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." Let me pause there just a second. Because they were threatened, they had been arrested, They could be beaten. They said, if you don't stop preaching in the name of Jesus, we're going to beat you. We're going to incarcerate you. We'll shut you up one way or another. They knew they couldn't do that. So they go back and pray, and there would be nothing wrong with saying, Lord, give us favor. Help us get out of this mess. But they knew that those authorities at that time weren't going to change their mind, and they knew they couldn't stop being a witness for Jesus. So here's what they prayed in verse 29. It says, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Let me pause there just a second. Sometimes we're going through those battles and storms and trials. I believe it can be helpful just to get to the presence of the Lord with some other believers and join in worship and join in prayer and faith together. That God is a refuge for us, the Bible says. The Lord is our refuge. Now, he's my personal refuge, but because he's my personal refuge, the Lord is our refuge. I'm not in this by myself. Thank God. Thank God. And so when you feel like the world even beats you down, it says they went to their own. Verse 30 says, we pray that you would stretch out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. But you see what they did? They went back to the refuge. They went to the Lord. They got with their brothers and sisters in prayer, and they called on the Lord, and they said, now, Lord, we want to ask you to do something. You're our refuge, but we know you loved everyone. You died to save everyone. So, Lord, use us now to proclaim your good news and bring others, invite them into the refuge too. Oh, man. I'm glad somebody invited me in. Thank God. And then finally, so in Jesus we find shelter, safety, and also security. In Jesus we find security. If you're still there in Psalms, would you turn to Psalm 46? Psalms 46. Security. I looked up this word in both the Hebrew and the English because in English, one definition of secure is free from doubt and fear. Free from doubt and fear. Now, we are human, and we're going to all face, I believe, our moments and times of doubt and fear. But if the Lord is our refuge and we're anchored to Jesus, we don't have to be controlled and dominated by doubt and fear. That's why the Bible says in Psalms 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Thank God. He's a very present help. So one song says, in time of need. But remember what I said about absent, free from doubt and fear? Verse 2 says, therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Don't you know that the devil wants us to doubt God's word? He wants us to doubt God's power, and he wants us to doubt God's love. So we just got to keep coming to the Lord again in faith and just receiving his grace. He is our refuge. If Jesus is our refuge, we're anchored to him. And there was another definition of the English word security. How many of you ever heard of a security deposit? You've heard of that? The Bible says when we are born again, when we're saved and forgiven, God gives us a security deposit. His Holy Spirit enters us, and it's a guarantee that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the project is just like Jesus. Thank God. The Lord is our refuge. And he says in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. Some of your translations may say something along the line like the God of heaven's armies is with us. And the context of that is important because, let me continue that verse, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Thank God that he's a deposit in us, and he is going to complete the good work that he has begun in us. I want to give you one more scripture reference if you want to write it down. It's from the lips of Jesus in John chapter 10. Let me just read it to you. John chapter 10. The Lord is our refuge. Would you say that with me once again? The Lord is our refuge. So in Jesus, we find shelter. We find safety for our emotions, our heart. And we find security. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The hand of Jesus, the hand of the Father. Y'all remember, some of you remember this commercial years ago. It was an insurance company. And they said, you're in good hands with, okay, y'all heard. Years ago, I had a couple eye surgeries. It was Petersburg General Hospital at the time. And I remember I spent the night, I guess, in the hospital. And my doctor's name was Dr. Roebuck. And my mom said, you're in good hands with Dr. Roebuck. That's what she told me. You're in good hands with Allstate. I'm just saying that commercial. You might have State Farm, whatever you got. Geico. How about this? You're in good hands with the Almighty. He's not going to drop you. I think I find security in that. That if I'm in Christ, he is my refuge. He is my shelter, my safe place. He is my security. I like what that psalmist said because he was being real. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Even in Psalm 46 here, where it says, you're a very present help in time of need. When we're in a storm of any kind, spiritual, relational, emotional, financial, medical, when we're being assaulted by a strong enemy, they're not as strong as the one for us, and they're no match for our refuge. I'm speaking of even spiritual demonic forces. We are in a safe place if we're in Christ, but we have to keep coming to him. We have to trust him, like the psalmist said, and run to him. Pour out our heart to him. I just want to say, make yourself at home with him. Receive his grace. Receive his peace. Receive his rest. And receive his strength. The Lord is our refuge and strength, that scripture said. Thank God, he's a very present help in time of need. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? The Lord is our refuge. Lord, I pray that you would help us today to run to you. We have many opportunities in life and in this world to remind us of how desperately we need you. But help us to take advantage and come to you faithfully, daily, continually, resort to you. Thank you that your heart is open and you're available. I pray that you would then use us, bring us into Christ's likeness, heal us where we're hurting, make us whole, and use us, Lord, even in that process. We don't have to arrive. We'll never arrive in this life, but right in the midst of the pain, right in the midst of the doubts and questions, help us to be a light to someone else still. That it's only by your grace we're making it through this. But we thank you that we are making it through your grace.